This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish Cakes, EB and JP. That's the foursome. We'll be joined by Diana Rossini at 7:40.
Nice.
You know, mostly as a reporter for the NFL on ESPN, but now she's doing XFL on ABC. So we will get her take on the XFL.
We'll be glad to say we knew her when. Actually knew her, met her 20 years ago, you know, when she was at Mason. She's blowing up.
And she's running around the field at Audi during the game. Actually going out on the field. Yeah. Waiting for guys to come off the field during, you know, change of possession. And she's going out there. She's interviewing coaches during the game. It's just, it's a very different dynamic when you're watching it on TV.
Part of her charm is how self-deprecating she is, in my opinion. And she's very self-deprecating on social media. And like a lot of these TV people, she's very aggressive on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But she's always kind of making fun of herself. And she apologized. So I didn't see it because I was running around. You were at the game. You saw everybody was commenting, though, how Diana was going back and forth. But
side
she must have been. She apologized.
Now, she wasn't running across the field. She'd go around the end zone.
Right. Of course. Yeah. So she's smart. But
they're not going to let her do that.
She apparently, maybe she was panting or something because she said like she hadn't done her cardio that week. And
yeah,
so
she
apologized for being out of breath. Yeah. During the interviews, you don't know because you were in the stadium.
I didn't see much of that in the second half, but all I know is that a couple of the guys,
yeah,
now, some of the guys had personality, but yeah, a couple of the guys had nothing to say.
Yeah, right. Well, they're jocks.
They had zippy to say.
What are they going to say?
And they've never been interviewed during a game.
Yeah,
so they didn't know how to handle it. But
well, wasn't it Zorny that said he was, like, taken aback, like, clueless? It didn't realize that they were going to have that kind of access. Did you read those quotes from him?
Not shocked if he was clueless.
He was clueless and didn't realize that, like, the cameras and everybody were going to be picking up his play calls.
Yeah.
He was a little put off by it.
Oh, yeah, you could hear the
play
call.
Because, you know, coaches are paranoid.
That's why he was the one that fired DC?
He was covering his mouth.
Yeah.
When he was calling the plays.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't realize everyone in the world could hear it.
This is probably the sound he made when he realized it.
It may be. I don't know. I know the team fired the DC after one game.
That was the Wildcats.
That was a different team.
Yeah.
I think that was the LA team.
Yeah. That, by the way, is not a cool move. I'm sorry. You can't fire a coach after a bad half. I mean,
apparently you can.
That's ridiculous.
Well, maybe
there might be more to the story.
There has to be, because you can't just do that.
All right, let's open up the Junkie Sports page.
By the way, did you see the video of the there's a linebacker for Eastern Kentucky. He actually started out at Auburn and transferred to Eastern Kentucky. His name's Michael Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And he got pulled over in somewhere in Ohio. And he was clearly on something. Something was off with this guy. But he picks up the officer. Picks him up.
Okay, that's a bad move.
Over his head.
So how did he not get shot?
And tried to body slam
him. He's like military pressing.
How did he not get shot?
Head.
Shows tremendous restraint.
It's a strange video because he keeps approaching the officer, and the officer's like, "Hey, back up!" And then finally, they get into it. He tries to get back in the car, and they want to handcuff him. And then they get into a little scrum. He picks up the officer, picks him up. I mean, guy's 6'3", 250 pounds,
yeah,
strong kid. And finally, another officer gets there, and they finally got him into cuffs. But
I mean, I'm looking just at the still shot, and man, he does have him, like, up on his shoulder, like, fully elevated.
Oh, he picked him up.
I mean,
he's a quarterback.
The cop's feet are 3.5 feet off the ground.
Oh, yeah,
how did they not shoot him?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'm surprised they didn't tase him.
I don't think
him.
You could touch a cop.
Oh, you're not supposed to. No, he was charged with a bunch of
touch
stuff.
Touch a cop? I think you're just going to get killed.
I mean, that is crazy.
Let's see. He was charged with obstructing official business. Apparently, he was in some office building and wouldn't leave. That's why the people called the cops. It was assault,
so resisting arrest. Trespassing.
Everything. Yeah, it's like six or seven different charges. What an idiot. He had to be on something, though. I don't think you just act like that.
Right.
Yeah. Probably on the bath salts or something, right? And that give you like superhuman strength or
Maybe
something?
He's on the scissorp or something.
I don't know what, but he's...
All right. We talked about the Caps. Big win last night in Denver. 3-2. Fell behind 2-0 at the end of the first. Hopi did start the game, but Wilson scored. Oshie scored. Backy scored. Who scored the game winner? Was it Oshie?
Oshie, yeah, with just about 3 minutes left in the game.
Beat Groovy.
Big Groovy.
Yeah, and
Burkowski actually scored, too.
I mean, he's on a heater.
Burkey scored.
He's having a really good season for Colorado.
Yeah. So, a big win for the Caps, right? Right, Cakes? 37-15-5 now, and they've got a great, great road record.
Nice road dub for the boys as they head to Arizona next.
Play Arizona next, who lost to the Sens last night 3-2. Arizona's 28-24-8, so they're not horrible. Big win for the Caps. They needed to stop the
bleed. Good amount of Caps fans in the building last night, too, at Pepsi Center, seeing some of the pictures and the vids.
I heard people
are traveling to try to see Ovi make history.
I heard that.
Try to score 700.
Yep.
Just two away.
So you like their chances against the Coyotes. And then they play Vegas.
Yeah. Look, if you're able to get two wins out of three on a quick West Coast swing, Caps will take that.
That'd be excellent.
One of the next two.
Yep.
And then you come home.
All right, so yesterday the big story in sports was the press conference down in West Palm with the Astros. The owner, Jim Crane, Dusty was sitting right next to him, although I don't think Dusty spoke.
Oh, no, he did.
Oh, he did?
He did. Yeah, he did.
At that press conference?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't hear him.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, that
Altuve
presser was
Bregman
going
up. Obviously spoke, and then they all spoke, all the players spoke in the locker room after the game.
It was going on during the show, and we were alluding to it, but we really couldn't listen except for a brief few moments when we went to commercial. And you could see, like, Bregman and Altuve spoke briefly. I think combined, the two spoke for a total of 90 seconds, didn't take any questions.
Right. Just contrived statements.
Yeah, just like really, just not enough for you. And
vague,
then Crane,
no specifics.
And then Crane, the owner, went out there. And when you see it back, you're like, oh my God, this guy is a moron.
All right, let's play a little bit of what Jim Crane said, the owner of the Astros.
Our GM and manager were not only suspended for a year, we went above and beyond and fired them. MLB also acknowledged that the players should not be punished for the failure of our leadership. The leaders enabled, condoned, and did not stop those actions that happened. I also agree that our players should not be punished for these actions. These are a great group of guys who did not receive proper guidance from their leaders.
You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
There's a lot of things objectable, but that is hugely.
That's what he's getting killed
for. Didn't impact the game.
Didn't impact the game. And then later, I think he was asked 55 seconds later, he was pushed on that. He goes, well, yeah, clearly it affected the game.
Right.
Yeah. He went back on it.
Yeah,
55 seconds later. I mean, the guy is a buffoon. I don't know what PR people they're using, if they're just using their own in-house people, but this guy is getting terrible advice, and he's not a smart human. How did he get his millions?
Let's see how he stumbled into his money.
Did he inherit a guy?
No, shipping guy? Yeah, he's a shipping.
So what does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
He's the majority shareholder of Champion Energy, Crane Worldwide Logistics, and Crane Freight and Shipping.
Big-ass boats that are all
okay,
over
but did he inherit his money?
Him. Here's where you respect him. I saw this on Wikipedia yesterday. Believe he is the best CEO golfer. He won some sort of title.
Really?
Yeah, he's a scratch golfer.
Really? He looks like a total donk. Well, listen.
I think he was a college baseball player.
Yeah, you don't have to be smart, obviously, to be a great athlete. He is a stupid human being because he just doesn't have, he lacks common sense.
I actually thought for an owner, he didn't have guns like really big, but he looked kind of fit because he was wearing like a short sleeve shirt.
Well, I mean, he's an athlete.
But he... There's nobody,
but he fails at the PR
there's
business.
There's nobody on the planet who thought they did a good job handling that.
No, that was impossible. Bad.
That was really
that was
bad.
Poorly done.
I thought Carlos Correa, though, did a good job. He was the only one on the entire
team.
That
was when they went into the locker room?
Into the locker room. He admitted.
What did he say?
He said that, first of all, it wasn't Beltran's. He didn't pressure them. They all accepted it. They could have stopped it. Mm-hmm. He admitted to the legal sign stealing being an advantage. And he over and over again said how wrong it was and how he wants to do
everything. That's how you have to handle it. Now, the problem
but also,
is.
He also said that they did not wear buzzers in that. 17, That's, 18, and 19. And I don't necessarily believe
everyone's
that.
Saying that, and they're rallying around that now. But they didn't initially, as Jason pointed out, when they first asked A.J. Hinch, he danced around it. When they first asked, I think, Bregman, they danced around it. A couple of, now, 2 days later, now they've. I think they've decided, well, baseball did their investigation. There's no proof, so we're just going to double down and
deny it.
That's
what they're leaning on. Right, they're, right. they're not saying we didn't wear buzzers. They're saying nobody
they're saying baseball did their investigation. No, now they are.
Well, Correa right.
their initial Their initial response
Correa,
was.
Correa is saying we didn't wear buzzers in any of those years.
Right. Yeah.
And I can't get Altuve running around the bases on a walk-off where you just won the pennant. Saying, don't take off my uniform.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's hard to get past that.
Any other player would be so hyped.
Yes. They're not thinking about their jersey.
And they are just going crazy. He sprints to the dugout, sprints to the locker room, changes his shirt, and then does interviews. I can't get that out of my mind. Sorry.
Yes.
I can't.
No, so I know.
I can't
and that's,
believe Correa. I
yeah. I don't believe him either.
Unless Correa just didn't know about it,
but
which I also find hard to believe.
He changed into probably a World Series shirt, right?
Well, no, I don't think anybody else sprinted to the dugout.
Yeah, no, he just didn't.
I don't know.
He avoided a celebration.
Everyone
with his
else
guys
was on the field celebrating.
It's just not something you do in a celebration.
I
no
can't
one's
get
ever
that
done
out of
that.
My mind.
It's just you don't.
Usually
you don't avoid
you're spontaneous
that.
When you celebrate. You're,
yeah.
you're not
and you stay there.
And,
it's what you live for.
No, I think he celebrated and then he went and got a shirt. Like
very.
A World
he
Series
was covering
shirt.
Himself.
I understand. I've seen the video. Yeah. I just don't know what happened after he touches home base and they're all jumping on him
yeah, right for about 10 seconds and then he rolls out
jumping on him. And then everybody gets their World Series hats and all those type of things.
No, no, he's not lingering for hats. That's where he ran in.
Yeah,
that's the whole point, JP.
It was very suspicious.
Everyone noticed
it was very suspicious.
That he ran out, and it's not normal. They're just guilty. He's just guilty.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'd
who
like
would even
see
think
the
of
video,
the idea?
I'd like to see the video beyond him running down the third baseline, you know?
Yeah, well, I'd like sure to see a smoking gun, too.
Get on your phone. I'm sure you, it's, you could probably find
I
it.
I wish there was video of Jesus.
Now, the other guy who also, I actually brought this up, but we hadn't heard from Verlander until, well, I hadn't heard from Verlander. I don't think he did any interviews until yesterday. And he was in the locker room talking to the media, and this is what Verlander said.
Sorry, hold on. I didn't have that queued up. I can play the apologies from Altuve and Bregman.
All right, play Altuve, Bregman.
Because they're so
and
sincere.
Then, and then get to Verlander, because he said something interesting.
Here, this is Bregman.
I am really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans. I would also like to thank the Astros fans for all of their support. We as a team are totally focused on moving forward to the 2020 season. Thank you.
I mean, I don't even care about that. Do you have the stuff in the locker room when they were talking about the, well, they didn't talk about this at the press conference, but they were asking or answering the questions when pressed by the media about everything. Do you have that, the locker room stuff?
Understood what was happening. I didn't. I wish I had said more. You know, looking back, I can't go back. I can't reverse my decision. Like I said, I wish I had said more, and I didn't. And for that, I'm sorry.
What did you say?
Nothing.
That's between myself and my teammates. I'll leave it at that.
Did you know the effort?
That's Verlander, right?
Yes, that was Verlander.
Yeah, it was Verlander. So anyway, it was just a big dumpster fire.
They're
yesterday.
Not being open enough because we haven't hit the bottom of this yet. In other words, there's too much out there. It's like A-Rod. A-Rod would partially apologize for something, and then you'd find out later there was more. And then you have to apologize again. Then you'd find out there was more. That's what's happening here. They've only caught them doing so much. That's why they can't just be open.
I'm waiting for the
they can't answer the other questions.
Who's not playing with the Astros now, who comes out and says, yeah, we were wearing the buzzers.
Or maybe even just one guy was. Maybe it was just Altuve. Maybe it was just three guys. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, maybe it wasn't the whole team.
I could just be a few
someone
guys.
Someone made the point that the only person who was remorseful was Dusty Baker. He wasn't even a part of the team.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's why Dusty was brought in, because everyone likes Dusty, and, you know, Dusty should be able to handle a veteran squad.
And he distances himself, too, if you listen to the language. He's like, I hope everybody forgives them for what they did. He didn't say we.
At that meeting last night, the players showed, you know, tremendous remorse and sorrow and embarrassment for their families, the organization, the city of Houston, and for baseball. And I just want to ask for, you know, the world, the baseball world, you know, to forgive them for the mistakes that they've made.
It was just a big, I'm sorry. Somebody put together a montage of all the players and the umpires. So their PR person clearly just said, just go to the well with saying, I'm sorry, bad decision, sorry, sorry, but be vague. And that's what they did. I don't think that was the best. I think it would have been better if
it
was
heartfelt. Well, what do you do, though? See, here's the thing. They are in a pickle. Yeah. Let's assume that there's a lot more that they don't know about, that it was dating back to 2015, that, you know, it wasn't just 2017. There's a variety of other methods, whether it was buzzers or something. There's a variety of ways they've been doing this. They might have been using iWatch. You know what I mean? What do you do then if the only thing you've been caught at so far is the banging the drums? You can't be too specific when they answer, you know.
You can't offer up too much information.
You can't. They're in a tough spot.
And maybe that's why Drab liked Carlos Correa, because it came off heartfelt. It looked
agreed
legit.
1,000,000%.
Bregman sounded mechanical.
Everyone agrees with you.
Scripted. Robot, read that.
All of your impressions, I think, are universal.
Yeah.
But they're in a tough spot, because I think there's way more there.
I think there are, and it starts with the buzzers.
I think it's a big part of it.
It just looks so suspicious. I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I can't believe them when they said, yeah, there was no buzzers. I can't believe it.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067 is the number. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, talking about the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal, the way they handled the presser yesterday. When did they first come here?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I know that their first spring training game against the Nats is February 22nd.
Spring training doesn't matter. Regular season, do they cross paths?
They may not.
I have to look at the sked. I mean,
they may not cross paths.
But wherever they play, especially in the first month, they're just going to get skewered.
Oh, I think it's every time they show up in a city.
Yeah.
I think it's throughout the season.
I mean, I know it's a
they're
job.
They're the most despised team in the world
right now.
They
got the new manager. They got Dusty. They got a brand new GM that they hired about 20 minutes ago, James Click from Tampa. He was in Tampa 14 years. And so he's got to put out fires. I mean, I feel bad for these people who weren't involved. They got to deal with it every single day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just going to be a huge story, at least for the first couple of months.
By the way, Patrick Corbin said yesterday, when asked about the Astros sign stealing, that they came into their games against the Astros prepared.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we knew, we'd heard things, we didn't know exactly what happened. It's a little frustrating when you look at it and you see who they hurt and the people they hurt with the decisions they made. Seems like it's not done yet, so we'll see what happens, what else comes out. But I think everyone in here is just focused on what we need to do and try to do it again.
In the Astros' defense, they couldn't have said anything yesterday to appease everyone,
right?
To appease the masses.
They're going to be villains no matter what.
Yeah, it could have been handled perfectly, or it could have been this cluster F that was yesterday, and it still would have been received the same.
Yeah, well, if Crane sounded more like Correa did, that would have helped. To say that the games weren't affected, initially that's what he said.
Yeah.
It's just stupid to say.
Then to say that they were, like, a minute later, however long it was. I mean, just
that just shows you
bad
luck. How he didn't think it out. Like,
right.
These guys are taking it as a joke, you know? How could you go up there and say, yeah, we think, how on any level could you say that the games aren't affected?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
But then a minute later, he said that he did. He just
right, but shows you how
ill prepared
he was. He didn't think it out. He just thought he was going to sit through this and BS his way through it.
They want to hold on to, we won the World Series.
Of course, I get it.
And they don't want to give that up. But it is interesting to see. So the Nationals, according to Corbin, said that they use laminated cards with different sets of signs for each pitcher that both pitchers and catchers had on them during the games.
Yes.
The Nationals were then able to switch the signs at any time to keep the system from being cracked.
Yes.
And that's after Joe Torre said no shenanigans.
Well, and also after they talked to a bunch of people and they said, should I be careful? Like ex-Astros and stuff. And they're like, yeah, you got to watch out.
Oh, look,
and other teams are saying they're cheating.
Well, Cora called up Davey.
Yeah.
And said, hey, I was a part of this. All right, they're still doing it.
Yeah.
The Astros coming to D.C. over July 4th weekend.
Ooh, so they are coming
this
year.
That's a weekend. July 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
But I do think they're in a tough – there's a sympathy maybe is not the right word, but they're in a tough spot because I think they've only been half caught. And
well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can only admit to what you can prove, I think. And if that's the spot they're in. You know what I mean? Until someone else comes out and says – Yeah, these guys were lying. We were wearing buzzers. Or if there was some other aspect of cheating that we haven't found out about yet.
Yeah. I mean, they just don't want to own all the other things, and so that's why they're being vague.
And Major League Baseball, and who knows if Manfred's telling the truth or not, but he came out and said, yeah, there's no indication that they were wearing buzzers.
So
they can jump on that bandwagon.
What about the Trevor Bauer allegations that these guys have increased spin rates because they're putting foreign substances on the balls?
Well, I'm sure that's true.
Yeah. I mean, unless you can prove it.
But
Verlander could say, no, we weren't doing that. I'm just better
than
you.
Didn't Verlander kind of have some down years towards the end of his Tigers tenure?
Well, I mean, he was with a better team with Houston.
Okay. It's going to be fascinating to see what these guys' numbers are this year.
Yep.
Because I don't care what anybody says. We were talking about it last night.
Let me see something
guys, if you know you don't have to worry about off-speed stuff or vice versa, you're just sitting on a fastball. Mm-hmm. These boys are too good. They're not necessarily going to get hit every time, but they're gonna make contact.
By the way, just looking at some of the quotes,
their success rate's going to go way up.
I didn't see Josh Reddick say this, but I was reading the quotes from Reddick. He actually seemed pretty contrite, but he was the most honest. He goes, there were times when I felt bad and I told them not to give me the signals. He goes, but if we were playing against a tough left-hander or I was in a slump, I wanted it.
Right. I get that. That's human nature.
They broke down.
Human nature.
They had 58 games where whoever did the research had 58 games where they
didn't have any.
They sampled. No, where they did.
Oh, okay.
Where they sampled the drum beating. And I think Reddick had the second lowest percentage. I think Altuve was one. Second lowest percentage of drum beating at his at-bats.
Yeah.
So Reddick apparently didn't use it a lot.
Right.
What did Springer say
also,
yesterday?
Altuve didn't use it that much.
Right. I think he was number one. I think he had the lowest percentage.
Well, maybe he had a buzzer.
Right.
Exactly. He didn't need the drums. He had the buzzer.
He was wearing
a
wire.
Plus, I contend he swings at everything.
Right. He had a more direct route to know what was coming, possibly.
Yeah. All right.
By the way, Cakes, the win total for the Astros. Now, they're still very good.
Yes.
All right. It's 95.5. Now, they won 107 last year, cheating.
Right. Are they 12 games worse?
No, they did lose Cole.
Right.
Which is a huge loss.
And they lost five games right there, at least,
probably.
I think.
Do we think, and plus with all the pressure that they're going to be dealing with, should we lean under 95.5 with the
Astros?
My
initial tingle there is under. I hate unders.
I think we should do it just because we want to root against them.
Right. I can kind of see that.
All right, let's bang out some of these calls. People want to chime in. Let's go to Tommy in Arlington. Hey, Tommy, what's up, buddy? You're all with the Junks.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener here.
Thank you, sir.
The show. So I was funny you guys keep mentioning Altuve and how, you know, he didn't receive a lot of the banging and stuff compared to some of the other players. But I was talking to a cousin of mine who works for, like, the grounds team at the Astros. Stadium, and it wasn't necessarily like a rumor, but he picked up on some of the lingo and sort of like inside jokes that some of the teammates, specifically like Altuve, they kept referencing his tiny toe, something with like a buzzer. basically being wrapped around his one of his toes. So I don't know if there's footage, you know, like tied to that. But I was just wondering what your guys' thoughts on like.
Hold on, I'm sorry.
Possibly him having
he's
like
saying that there's some sort of buzzing device like wrapped around his toe.
See, that'd be hard to catch.
What was the source again?
Right.
Groundskeeper.
Okay. Yeah. He's and I don't want to get like too specific because I don't want him to like, you know, lose his job or anything. But he picked up because he's Hispanic as well, so he would pick up on like some of the
back and forth, the shenanigans, right? I get it.
Right.
Can't they go wireless? They definitely need some sort of wireless hookup.
Well, it definitely was wireless.
he
dragged a wire.
The way that he described it, it sounded like it was going from the toe all the way up to his chest.
I don't know. Might just buzz your toe. That's all you need. Buzz your toe.
Right.
Feel that.
Buzz the foot.
Hey, we all remember what happened in Casino when the card counter had a buzzer. He got his hand smashed with a hammer.
Oh, yeah.
And then he got thrown out of the casino.
Mm.
It wasn't pretty.
I don't know. I just can't.
That's how it hurt.
Oh.
Did you finally see a specialist over your stupid
thumb? No, I still haven't done it.
You know what?
Is it still bothering you?
Still tingly.
Yeah, I think he's just resigned.
I will do it at some point, but I'm in no rush, obviously.
Here's what would help me. Is have they done it? It probably already exists. Is there a YouTube guy out there, a baseball blogger, that's already demonstrated to us how it would work? Like, I need a guy to wear a wire and show on YouTube, this is how I think the Astros did it. Tie one around your toe, you know what I mean? Go to the plate, have a guy over in the dugout, hit the thing, you know, you know what I mean?
Show
us how it works.
That's going to make it for a second. Do you see the pictures of Reddick that went viral for a little while, and then they found out
it was
confetti?
Yeah. It looked like something suspicious, but it looked like confetti. Yeah.
Did they ever say what it was?
It was his chain, like he wore a chain.
And it was confetti hanging off.
It looked like confetti. I mean, he'd be a moron to go there in a tank top and have the wire.
Yeah, maybe he wasn't using the buzzer. Maybe only Altuve was.
Well, these buzzers, I'm on Alibaba.com. Yeah. They got all kinds of wireless buzzers that look like they're about the size of a dime.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm sure they are.
Easy to conceal.
Yeah. And so, and how do you just trigger it? What, with your phone or something? Or how's
it's got like a second device, I'm sure, that someone presses.
Right.
So Carlos Beltran is watching the sequence.
I mean, the fact that somebody even, like, because we wouldn't think of, the general public wouldn't think of this. The reason why, I mean, it's rooted in something, right? Somebody's doing it. Somebody's using buzzers.
And everybody,
if they're not, they're going to start.
Yeah. What did the Red Sox
do? By the way, everybody knew that they were doing it. So the Yankees last year, when they're playing the Astros in the ALCS, they knew, maybe they didn't know about the buzzers, but they knew they were cheating.
Yeah.
Right? So everyone tries to prepare themselves against it. The Nats obviously did a great job of it, but the Yankees were definitely trying too, and they still lost.
Did you see the video of Cora when he was with the, I guess, the Red Sox, right? Mm-hmm. And he talked about, and a smirk came over his face where he talked about they were better with their details.
Right.
And then he kind of smiled and winked at the people.
I know people have made a lot of these statements. I saw when Verlander won the Cy Young, he said something like, we're the best at analytics and stuff like that. People are like, see?
No, but like when he said the details and then he kind of winked and smiled.
Yeah.
You know.
Who knows?
Everybody knew.
All right, Jason went to the first Defenders game. XFL, of course, is here. They're playing again this weekend. Diana Rossini is now a sideline reporter for the XFL. We'll be joined by Diana Rossini next here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 8 o'clock, John Feinstein joins us. But joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our friend Diana Rossini, who is an NFL reporter. You know her on ESPN, but now she's covering XFL on ABC. Tomorrow, Guardians Defenders, 2 o'clock on ABC. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning, guys. Happy Valentine's Day. It is so good to hear your voices and be back in your city, man. I love this place.
Anything planned for Valentine's Day, Diana?
Yeah, what's on the docket tonight?
Guys, you've known me for how many years? Have I ever shared with you anything exciting in my life besides stupid work. Nothing too exciting. You know what? I'm assuming Steve Levy tonight will probably ask me to go have a bourbon cigar with him, but that's probably the extent of my exciting day. But, you know, I'm obviously in town for the XFL, so all my loved ones are far from me today.
She's a workaholic, dude.
Who's the color analyst with Levy? Is it McElroy?
Yeah, it's Greg McElroy.
Yeah,
so
he's good. Yeah,
Greg. He's really smart. Like he's, you know, those people that you have dinner with, and you're sitting there, and you think you all get along, and you have a lot in common, and then that one person kind of goes off on a tangent on something in depth, and you're like, "Wow, I'm dumb." They're really smart.
McElroy's really good.
No, you're smart too, Diana. We've known you for a long time, and I know how hard you work on the NFL stuff. When they come to you and say, "Now we want you to cover the XFL," I know it's an amazing opportunity for you. But I know how hard it is to keep track of everything that's going on in the NFL. Now you got all these unknown guys. How difficult has that been for you?
They approached me, and I was standing like in a doorway of one of my managers, and I walked right out. I'm like, yeah, not happening. Because you guys know how the league works. The second the season ends, the minute the Super Bowl wraps up, it's free agency, it's draft, it's combine. It's the biggest false narrative out there is that the NFL season wraps up, you know, and it just doesn't. If anything, I'd say I probably work harder in the off season. But once I found out how serious the league was, and I got to meet the XFL commissioner, Oliver Luck, and he is, we talk about being smart. He blows you away. He just knows what he's doing. They put so much work into this. And I also wanted to hear, to be real transparent with you, I wanted to hear that they were putting money into it. Because my thought was, I don't want to be part of something that in 2 weeks is going to fold.
Right.
And, you know, like I've worked really hard within the league of the NFL to build up credibility. And I wasn't certain about it. But once I heard the business model and what the interest level was from fans, because that was like my other question, do people really want this? I kind of jumped all in. And then once I heard Steve Levy was on it, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm definitely doing this because he's just like the best.
Well, the other thing, though, Diana, though, is, and you know this, their partnerships are huge. I mean, their partnerships with your people, with the Disney people, with the ABC, ESPN, and their other networks, I believe, that are associated with it. It's incredible. That's going to give the staying power beyond what anybody could imagine.
So you guys see me on TV all the time on ESPN, right? So yeah. That's great. We obviously have millions of viewers. But the fact that I'm working a game on ABC,
right?
If you think about it, it's actually the biggest thing I've ever done in my career.
Right.
So, for me, it's actually a really good opportunity. And you know, when I was a little hesitant at first, I kept thinking about, well, this could be really cool because, you know, who knows what it could eventually turn into. And
right.
Learning these guys, though, that has been really hard because you're like, wait, why do I know this name? Oh, yeah, yeah, he was with the Broncos for like a minute. Or, yeah, I definitely talked to him at Jets practice once. I think I did.
Yeah.
You know, so doing the research and catching up on these guys and finding what their stories are. And you can imagine some of them have some pretty incredible ones.
What about the access? So everybody was making a big deal, and you're so great with your, like, self-deprecating nature on social media and stuff about you running around, you know, panting, doing all of these interviews live. You know, on television there with the access that you have. How different was that for you? Were you comfortable with it? Was it something you enjoyed?
Well, it was really cute in my 20s to be like, oh, I don't work out. I'm just, you know, I'm just athletic. But now I'm obviously a little older now. And running is, I mean, just walking to my car is a challenge. So now they have me running around the field. And here's the thing, Oliver Luck said to me, he's like, I don't want you to feel like you have any rules. As long as you use your sort of instincts on it, and if you want to ask a quarterback anything at any point, go ahead. Just make sure it doesn't distract from the game and add to it. If you're thinking it and you're curious about it, when a kicker misses a 35-yarder and you want to know what the heck was going through his mind, there's probably people out there watching that are thinking it, so go for it. So, yeah, definitely making that adjustment from being on the NFL sideline where, guys, you know how it is. It's, you know, the credential cops are out there. I mean, I'll walk around with a camera that screens ESPN and people will still be like, you know, are you allowed here? I'm like, guys, come on. Like, I'm obviously not just a fan. So it's fun to just be able to go with what I think fans want. And again, they're not really putting rules on me. But the hard part is really getting to the action, right? Because sometimes I'm on the wrong side of the field, or you know, something happens real quick. There's a pick, so I got to go run to that other bench, and that's really where I got my butt kicked last week. I woke up on Sunday, so my game was Saturday at 2 o'clock. It was right here. It was over at Audi Field, yep. And I woke up Sunday just. I felt like I like raged the night before and like had like 15 beers because I'm like, I feel awful. So I tried to get a little cardio in this week, and the fact that I'm talking about getting fit is so pathetic. I'm like, I got to get fit to do my job. Like, come on. Like, it's really not that hard, but they clocked me. It was like 12,500 steps.
That's a lot.
I did in one game.
Physically demanding.
That's only one game.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's more than Cakes does in 3 days.
Yeah, absolutely.
Diana, were there certain players or coaches that when you approached them said, I can't talk right now? Or were they pretty open?
No. It's funny because that's like another thing I'm managing, our relationships, because these guys don't know me and I don't really know them. So, and I just sort of jumped in all this about a month ago, and I'm only around them once in a while. So there has to be a bit of a trust factor there. In fact, the kicker from DC who I interviewed right after he missed the 35 yarder, I asked him, what do you think went wrong there? You haven't, attempted a field goal in 2 years. In a meaningful game, what do you think you did? And he gave me a great answer about just rushing in. He had a little bit of nerves. And so as soon as the camera cut away, he walked away and I grabbed him. I go, look, you make one, I'm coming for you. I'm not just hitting you on the bat. And he's like, thanks. And then at the end of the half, he had a 55 yarder and he saw me right away. He's like, you promised. I was like, I told you. Right. So like, you don't want to expose these guys in a way that makes them insecure or expose a moment of negativity. I want to celebrate them. So, but I still think when there's mistakes, people kind of want to know what happened.
Right.
All right. So talk about the game tomorrow, Defenders Guardians, 2 o'clock ABC. The line's 7, by the way, 7-47 the total. So the Guardians won their first game. They beat Tampa, I believe. Tampa did not look good. Aaron Murray was terrible. He had 3 turnovers. Defenders looked really good. Guardians looked good. So these are 2-1-0 teams. What's the strength of the Guardians based on what you know?
I love the inside scoop you have on this breakdown here. Who's your researcher there?
That would be me.
I love that you mentioned Vegas because that's the gambling element to all this is really what separates it. And you'll hear Steve Levy and Greg McElroy reference it all game long. So if you like to gamble and bet on games, I actually think this is like the perfect spot for you on Saturdays and Sundays because we're not hiding it. We're not doing that shady thing where we're like, we kind of like wink, wink at you. We are talking about it and we are pushing it and we're discussing it. So I think that kind of makes it more fun to just as a fan to watch. Even if you don't like the football element of it, you at least have something to cheer for if you are gambling on it. So the Guardians, obviously they did a really good job offensively last week. Matt McGloin looked much better than I expected, I can tell you that much. But their defense is really good. DC will tell you that their defense is the best in the league, but I actually think New York's going to give them a run this week. But Cardale Jones, his ability to extend the play, I almost forgot about what he could do with his legs and his decision-making because it's just been so long since we've seen him. In fact, I interviewed him after the win, and I'm running up to him, and I'm thinking to myself, real quick, your brain's going 100 miles an hour. I'm like, all right, so the last time Cardale started in a game was probably, I'm like, oh, my gosh, the last time this kid started in a game was in the national championship game at Ohio State.
Right,
like,
right.
This has been 4 years. Just the fact that he's back out there and enjoying it and even talking to him post-game off camera, he's like, it just feels good to be back out there. And, not to be sentimental or to overly dramatic about the emotions of the XFL, because there aren't a lot. But one thing, guys, the difference between being in this league than any sport I've covered is these guys want to be there. It almost feels collegiate. Right. Some of them have a chip on their shoulder. Some of them want to prove. But they know they're on national TV, and they don't want to be embarrassed. They want to look great, and they want to put good tape together, and they're rooting for the league. So it's this really fun environment to be part of because everyone's rooting for it and they want success. And Audi Field last week, I know you guys weren't able to get down there, and I hope at one point in the season you can just come even for like a half and bring, you know, maybe bring the kids.
Yeah.
The vibe is awesome.
Yeah.
It is so good.
No, Jason went.
I was there for
Jason half. Went, actually.
And I was just wondering, the optics must have been great to watch it on TV in D.C., but I'll be honest, Diana, the optics weren't great watching the New York game because they played it in MetLife. And
it was too big a stadium.
It was a third full, maybe. So it wasn't loud. You didn't get any, you know, vibe of an energy vibe on that game. So I think that they have to find a stadium that's a little bit smaller so the visuals are better. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I completely understand what you're saying. I actually live like 2 minutes from MetLife Stadium.
Right.
And there's just nothing. There's no stadium around there.
There's nothing there.
It's smaller. But yeah, I think the advantage that DC is going to have going forward, just as an organization, is that they have that Audi Field soccer field, that intimate feeling, and you know,
is there not an MLS soccer team that has their own stadium up there?
I think it's in Newark.
How far is that?
That's actually not far at all. But I know for a while they were playing at MetLife. They don't play at MetLife anymore. But
yeah
I do think, and now that you say that, I do think Newark has something.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, Prudential, that's hockey, obviously. I'm not even really sure. I don't even know my own state. I'm the worst.
No, you do.
Yeah, I do think that's going to be important.
Red Bull Arena.
Yeah. There you go.
Where's the Tampa Seattle game? Are they playing? Do you know, Drabby? Are they playing with the Seahawks stadium or not?
I think that's the one in Seattle.
Yeah, they're playing at.
Oh, okay.
They're playing at CenturyLink.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Out there, and I have one game in Seattle in April. But if you looked at the ratings, I don't know if you guys saw them. They were being pushed around all over Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
The Seattle market came in hot. I mean. They blew every market away for watching the Dragons. So, I mean, I've lived out there, and I know what that fan base is like. And I really don't care. I don't think they care what it is, what sport it is.
Hmm.
As long as it represents, you know, the Emerald City and it's Seattle, they buy in. So
right.
Do I think they're not going to – I don't think they're going to sell out. CenturyLink. If they do, oh my gosh! I mean, we have something incredible on our hands. But I don't think that's going to happen. But I bet you it's a decent showing. I bet you it's not terrible. Whereas, guys, you know how New York is. New York's hard.
People
don't even know what they are. They're like, am I a Jets fan? Am I a Giants fan? What am I? You know, no one knows what they are.
Yeah.
So I think where the cities are just like one team, I think that could be real helpful.
Diana, they're giving us the break sign. We're up against the break. You're awesome. We'll do it again soon.
Have fun.
Yeah, we'll talk Redskins next time, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah,
thanks,
anytime. Thank you. It's Diana Rossini, of course, superstar with ESPN, and now on the sideline for the XFL.
Coming up next, it's Fridays with Feinstein. We'll get John's take on the Houston Astros scandal and more. Keep it here.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.